The Lost Girl by D.H. Lawrence. Chapter 1. The Decline of Manchester House. Take a mining townlet like Woodhouse, with a population of 10,000 people, and three generations behind it. This space of three generations argues a certain well-established society. The old county has fled from the site of so much disembowelled coal to flourish on mineral rights in regions still idyllic. Remains one great and inaccessible magnate, the local coal owner, three generations old, and clambering on the bottom step of the county, kicking off the mass below. Rule him out. A well-established society in Woodhouse, full of fine shades, ranging from the dark of coal dust to grit of stonemason and sawdust of timber merchant, through the lustre of lard and butter and meat, to the perfume of the chemist and the disinfectant of the doctor, on to the serene gold tarnish of bank managers, cashiers for the firm, clergymen and such like, as far as the automobile refulgence of the general manager of all the collieries. Here the ne plus ultra. The general manager lives in the shrubberied seclusion of the so-called manor. The genuine hall, abandoned by the county, has been taken over as offices by the firm. Here we are, then. A vast substratum of colliers, a thick sprinkling of tradespeople intermingled with small employers of labour, and diversified by elementary schoolmasters and nonconformist clergy. A higher layer of bank managers, rich millers and well-to-do ironmasters. Episcopal clergy and the managers of colliers, then the rich and sticky cherry of the local coal owner glistening over all. Such the complicated social system of a small industrial town in the Midlands of England in this year of grace 1920. But let us go back a little. Such it was in the last calm year of plenty, 1913. A calm year of plenty. But one chronic and dreary malady, that of the odd women. Why, in the name of all prosperity, should every class but the lowest in such a society hang overburdened with dead sea fruit of odd women, unmarried, unmarriageable women, called old maids? Why is it that every tradesman, every schoolmaster, every bank manager and every clergyman produces one, two, three or more old maids? Do the middle classes, particularly the lower middle classes, give birth to more girls than boys? Or do the lower middle class men assiduously climb up or down in marriage, thus leaving their true partners stranded? Or are middle class women very squeamish in their choice of husbands? However it be, it is a tragedy. Or perhaps it is not. Perhaps these unmarried women of the middle classes are the famous sexless workers of our ant-industrial society, of which we hear so much. Perhaps all they lack is an occupation, in short, a job. But perhaps we might hear their own opinion before we lay the law down. In Woodhouse there was a terrible crop of old maid among the nobs, the tradespeople and the clergy. The whole town of women, colliers' wives and all, held its breath as it saw a chance of one of these daughters of comfort and woe getting off. They flocked to the well-to-do weddings with an intoxication of relief. For let class jealousy be what it may, a woman hates to see another woman left stalely on the shelf without a chance. They all wanted the middle-class girls to find husbands. Everyone wanted it, including the girls themselves. Hence the dismalness. Now James Houghton had only one child, his daughter Alvina. Surely Alvina Houghton... But let us retreat to the early 80s, when Alvina was a baby, or even further back, to the palmy days of James Houghton. In his palmy days, James Houghton was crème de la crème of Woodhouse society. The house of Houghton had always been well-to-do, tradespeople, we must admit, but after a few generations of affluence, tradespeople acquire a distinct cachet. Now James Houghton, at the age of 28, inherited a splendid business in Manchester Goods in Woodhouse. He was a tall, thin, elegant young man with side whiskers, genuinely refined, somewhat in the Bulwer style. He had a taste for elegant conversation and elegant literature and elegant Christianity.